Well, Tom, first of all, anyway, thanks very much for taking time out to talk to me. You're a busy man up and down from Clare, training Kerry and being involved in meetings and meeting people and everything and like that. But to begin, when the call came and the offer came to take the job from Kerry, had you any hesitation and why did you take it?
Well, I suppose I wasn't particularly offered a job so much as the job was available. I learnt it was available and I put my name in the ring. I came and I met with Patrick Sullivan initially and we had a chat in the West County, actually in Clare, about the job. And I was sussing him out as much as he was sussing me out. And I put my, after that meeting, I put my name forward and went into an interview process. But I believe several other people, which I suppose the reason I took the job, I spent 3 or 4 very enjoyable years down here with Kilmoyley. Myself and Anthony Daly were training them there and we had some success. We won 2 championships with them. And lost 2 more to Lixnaw at semi-final and final, the narrowest of margins. But we had a great time down here. Through my time here, I learned that North Kerry, in particular, people are very passionate about their hurling. And, you know, I was always amazed at the standard of hurling of particular individuals and that there was had to be a core of talent here that could be worked on and developed. And that kind of drew me to that, I suppose. And being honest with you, I liked the people I came in contact with that time. And I felt, look, these are people I can work with, and this is something I'd enjoy taking on this challenge, and I'd enjoy doing it.
You mentioned your time with Kilmoyley and Anthony Daly down here, and of course, Kerry Hurling County Finals, they're a special, very special day, Tom. In relation to the tradition of Kerry Hurling and the Kerry Hurling people that you deal with down there, you mentioned their passion and everything. It is very special.
It is very special. I remember our first year down here, we were playing Lixnaw in the final. We were subsequently beaten, but we met with the players that morning. There was mass in Kilmoyley, and Father Brick said mass. And never in my life did I ever experience anything quite as emotional or as special. Everybody in the parish and everybody in the community seemed to be at mass. Every child was from the local school got in the altar and sang during mass. The whole mass was about hurling and rejoicing, hurling and sport and what we were kind of entering into for the day. And it was a really, for me, it was a really special moment. It's one of those kind of, I don't know, defining moments in your life when you really do reflect on your sporting endeavours and what you're trying to achieve and how important and how special it is in all our lives. And, you know, these moments like that resonate with you and kind of stay with you and kind of give you a graw for a place and a graw for the people you're dealing with.
Yeah. I must say, Tom, being involved in the football side of things down here more than the hurling all my life, I must say that the hurling people are way more passionate down here. They're a different breed altogether than the football people. And you put your finger in it there when you said you were there at the mass that day and you experienced that. So when the call came, you couldn't resist, of course. I can understand that now. And, of course, you had been, when Anthony Daly would be taken up above in Dublin and he couldn't come down, in many ways you were managing Kerry for in and out when Daly was missing.
Well, Kilmoyley at the time, for certainly all the pre-season stuff and even some of those years, I suppose, for the first and second round of the championship. I remember the year Lixnaw beat us 1 year in the final, and the following year we met him in the first round and we had to play him here, and Anthony at the time was tied up with Dublin, so I stepped in and we did whatever we had to do, and I think we won that game and we went on and we played Ballyduff another night here without him. So yeah, there were games. Look, I'm involved in hurling all my life. I'm involved with Anthony for quite a bit in different capacity in hurling with both Clare and Dublin at various stages. So, you know, there was nothing particularly new to it. Both of us are involved We worked together because we always worked very well together. But he'd been absent or I'd been absent, really didn't much matter. We'd have the same sort of mindset about the game and about our approach to the game and what we were trying to do in Kilmoyley. So it was no big deal.
Of course, you brought great experience with your club, Clare Castle. You had played in 9 county finals. You had won 5, playing in one Munster medal. You had played under 21 and minor and senior with Clare. You brought huge experience with you.
I've been playing hurling all my life. I suppose playing hurling and managing hurling teams are a totally different game. Playing hurling, it is a team effort, but you're concentrating on your own individual performance and trying to contribute to the team effort. Managing a team is a bit about coaching, is a bit about cajoling, it's a bit about trying to get the best out of players. It's a bit about trying to deal with different personalities who may want to go in different directions. And it asks questions of you that you know, as you came out as a, of hurling as a player, as a raw recruit, you might think you know all the answers to, but as you deal with people and as you get to know with people, you find out how diverse it is and how many different demands it makes of you as a human being, never mind as a hurling man. It's a very interesting challenge. It's a challenge I love. I mean, when you're not involved playing, to be around dressing rooms and around training fields and around, you know, the build-up to matches and the build-up now to the first round of the Christy Ring, it is something that's terribly engaging and energising and, you know, gives you a zest for life that's great.
Out of all those years playing with your club, Tom, and playing with Clare and everything, what was the one greatest hurling memory that you have as a player?
Well, as a player, I was going to say Clare winning the 95 All-Ireland and my buddy Anthony lifting the cup will always be the most special moment in hurling for me. But as a player, I suppose winning your first county senior hurling championship was very special. We won it up in Michael Cusick's up in North Clare. Michael Cusick, as probably a lot of your listeners know, was one of the founding members of the GAA. And in honour of him, in 1984, the final was meant to be there. We were in the final. I was captain. We were beaten narrowly by 2 points. And the following year, it wasn't played that year to some technicality. So the following year, or 2 years later, the game was refixed for there. They had amended the field to make sure that it conformed to the minimum standards. And we played there, and it was a most magnificent setting above in the rock and the stone, above in a football country, above in North Kerry, or not Clare, but recognising that, you know, you were in the presence of the place where the founding member of the GAA came from. It was a really special moment. And we as a club hadn't won the championship in that stage 24 or 5 years. So it was special for lots of different reasons. But for me, it was probably the one moment you hurl all your life for us to win that medal, that county medal with your club and your buddies. And so that was probably the moment, the most special moment for me.
Lovely memory. The difference, if there is a big difference, between club hurling in Clare, we'd say club county final standard in Clare, and the club hurling final standard in Kerry, and you have experienced both of them from within side.
Yeah, you know, club county finals, and I'm sure if you go to Kilkenny and you go to Cork and you go to Tip and all the places that are hailed as being the kind of strong hurling strongholds, if you like, in the country. Club county finals tend to be dour affairs. There's an awful lot at stake. It's parish v parish, neighbour versus neighbour, a lot of rivalry, a lot of slagging rights, a lot of, you know, fellas' life's ambition is to win that medal. And, you know, they often don't work out to be the spectacular events that people make them out to be. So I think you need to look at county finals and comparing the standard of games from county to county. I think you need to take that very lightly. What you're looking for is passion and heart and guts and all the things that, you know, this is a sport, but it is a contact sport, and it is physical, and it is demanding of people, of their minds and of their bodies, things that, and that's what you look for in county finals. And to that extent, Kerry County Finals that I was involved in here as a mentor, they don't lose anything from my own county or any other county that I can see. I mean, they're big events. They're huge events for the parishes and the people that are involved. And there's as much at stake for them as there is in Clare or any place else.
Yeah. Good stuff. When you came in and took over, Tom, you were taken over from John Myler. He had had good success and won the Christy Ring, and he'd built up a team. You came in then, and you can talk to me about the players that you lost. And you came in then and you set out in a youth policy and your present team, and you had an excellent league which is just over, and just failed to qualify for the final on points average. How disappointing was that? And talk to me all around the Kerry senior team at the moment, who you lost and who you brought in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're challenging my memory now, but I think we lost, I think, 10 players from last year. It's a huge amount, yeah. And then if you look at the calibre of players that are no longer hurling for Kerry, I mean, I have personal experience with the likes of Shane Brick and Colin Harris, for example, at Kilmiley, two massive men, massive hurlers. I mean, Shane Brick would grace any hurling field in the country. And Shane is still hurling with his club, maybe for the last year, maybe it's his last year, maybe he'll knock another year out of it. He just couldn't commit. And I think, you know, he's hurled for Kerry for 12 or 13 years, so you can't kind of disrespect that. He's living in Cork, and there are challenges with injuries and one thing and another. But, you know, there was Shane, Mikey Boyle in Kilmiley, again, another man that would grace any hurling field, is missing. Mike Conway, there's three forwards that, they would. I would love to be able to call on them next Saturday, and I think, you know, they would give us a massive lift if you could draw on that talent that are still hurling, and for injury and for one reason or another. James Godley immigrated to Australia. He's not available. And you can go through them, Jason Casey. You know, I'm probably running out of names and probably forgetting people that I shouldn't forget. But yeah, a hell of a lot of talent and lots of experience. And I guess it would be an awful blow to any county. It's particularly hard blow on a county that has only 8 senior teams. So to lose that sort of talent and that amount of people at one time was a huge blow, and huge blow to us and a huge blow to Kerry Hurling. But having said that, I think, you know, you can't beat a bit of adversity to get fellas going. We had to, you said we had a youth policy. Well, I'm not so sure we set out to have a youth policy. We looked at what hurlers were available to us. And if you do the maths, 8 by 15, there isn't a lot of hurlers available to you. So we had to scan the net far and wide. We brought in a couple of great selectors. We decided, Fergie Loughlin came down with me as trainer. Fergie is an amazing trainer, and I'd like, you know, the people that train under him, they will vouch for him and they will tell you just how good he has been and how good that experience has been. So he's been a vital part of our success. But we also had Pádraig Reagan, Noel Brown, Pádraig Reagan from Kilmiley, Noel Brown from Ballyduff, and Mike Burke in his selectors. And those fellas have been a huge support to me. They know the hurling on the ground here. They knew the players to go after. Mikey had been involved in minor teams here in Kerry and had been successful with a minor team the year before. So they were acutely aware of what talent was available. And we ended up bringing quite a number of lads that never had any county experience before. Young Daniel Collins from Kilmiley, Brendan O'Leary, who when we saw him first, we genuinely didn't think this man was going to make it. He was honest and he was tough and he was all the other things. We just didn't think he'd have the guile or the graft to make it. He was probably the best man we had in the league. So fellas like him have just stood out from the crowd and have just contributed way over and above what we expected of them. And it's because of that. And fellas like Patrick O'Keefe from Killarney and fellas like that have just played out of their socks and are just playing with inspiration and passion and fire in their bellies. And they're giving us that edge, you know. We're as fit as most teams in it, I suppose. And there seems to be that hunger that's come from blending whatever experience we had with a lot of these younger fellas. And we, for the moment at least, we've got the mix right. And it has worked during the league. That's not to say it'll work during the Christy Ring, but we have a basis to work from.
Were you surprised with the success of the league?
I didn't know what to expect. You know, we had a... In Kerry, trying to get fellas to train before Christmas, hurlers to train before Christmas, there seems to be a major blackout against it. So we struggled earlier on and we were kind of dismayed going up and down the road in the months of November and December. Lots of fellas have very genuine reasons, or what appear to be genuine reasons. But when you're coming down and you're training 10s and 12s, it's very difficult. But when we came into Christmas, we had a bit of a crisis meeting the first week after Christmas. And fellas started rocking up in numbers from there on. And we got a massive effort from fellas. And, you know, Fergie is a very demanding trainer. And we decided, look, whatever hope we had, fellas had to be as fit as they could possibly be in the time frame that we possibly had. So we put them through the ringer. We trained them extremely hard in extremely tough conditions. And, you know, no matter what we did, we couldn't break their spirit. They trained and trained and you'd give them more and they'd take more. And we said, you know what, we have something. There's a bit of... There's drive and passion and spirit in what we have. And if we can add a little bit of craft and guile to them, these fellas might just,
bought into it.
They bought into it. And, you know, they have raised the bar. They themselves took control. We had, like every team, there was a few moments during the year when we had to ask them to question themselves on what they were about and what they were trying to do. And they came up with the answers and they assumed control. And I'd like to think right now they're, insofar as it's possible, as players, they are in control of their own destiny and they're trying to influence their own future, which is exactly what you want with any team that you'll be involved with.
Moving on, Tom, and talking about, you have a young Galway under 21, he was under 21 for Stephen Page, he was under 21 for Galway for the last 2 years. It appears to be a great prospect. I don't know, you'll know about him. Talk to me about him and would there be other players out there from other counties that the county should be looking to? What's your view on that? And also about the success of the Kerry Miners
and underage teams in Kerry, and in particular Causeway, and the amount of talent that's lying around now, how good is it?
Just to mention Stephen Page first. I mean, Stephen Page, I became aware of Stephen Page around Christmas. He actually walked into Carrisalee and looked to train with us one night. He thought we were a club team. He explained that he was down here working for 6 months and that he wanted to train with somebody that he was hurling at home and one thing and another. So I got talking to him and I got his phone number and I told him who we were and I asked, you know, did he hurl much? And I made some inquiries about him and I rang him again later on and I asked would he be interested in joining us and explained that as an isolated county player working down here, he could legitimately play for us and go back and play with his club afterwards. And it immediately interested him. We rang, actually, the night we met him, we rang Cyril Farrell, Fergie knows Cyril Farrell well, so they're clubmen, they're from the same club at home in Galway. And Cyril spoke very highly of him, and it was a good recommendation. So he came on board, but you know he's a member of a panel of 30 players, and he's no more and no less. Stephen, if he's going to get on this team, will earn his crust. He's not an automatic choice. He can be a Galway under 21 he likes, but he's going to earn his place in this team.
Do you think of him as a hurler?
I think from what I've seen so far, I think he's well able to hurl. I think he's fast. I think he's good hands. He's small. Which is, I suppose, in the division we're playing, is a bit of a disadvantage because you've got to be able to hold your ground in this sort of game. But he's good hurling, good hands. He's a great eye for goal. So he has a lot of what we'd like good and what we need. He's a good man to have on board. But, you know, only time will tell whether he'll be able to cut it or not. So I'd like to the jury's out on Stephen. With respect, the jury's out on him. Great to have him. And my general attitude about players like that, I mean, I think Bernard Rochford and Willie O'Dwyer are two other non-native men that are playing with us. Willie O'Dwyer has a couple of All-Ireland medals with Kilkenny. Willie O'Dwyer, the day we played Wicklow here, thought we were beaten. He thought we actually drew the game when we actually won the game. And there were tears in Willie's eyes inside the dressing room after the game. So don't anyone tell me about players like them that come into a county like this who don't have passion for what we're trying to do here. He sees, and I've seen no more than myself or Fergie, what these young players from Kerry are trying to achieve and what they're doing, and that they're as passionate about their hurling as anyone above in Kilkenny. And Willie has bought in, really bought in. And, you know, it's quite amazing to see a man that can look to his All-Ireland medals and still wants to promote what's going on in Kerry and wants to support hurling and wants to be a part of it and passionately a part of it. So I think it's not like you want to bring fellas in from the outside because you don't have the stuff here, but if you bring the right calibre of fella in, that's what you need. Not that we have five fellas we can bring in, we should fill the five positions. If we can get the right five fellas, bring them in. Bernard Rochford is the other man. Mad, passionate man, drives up and down from Cork. Never shuts up inside and goal, always roaring out of the backs. Cocky like most good goalies are, but a great goalkeeper. Great communicator, great goalie. And I'd like to think the lads that have played with him will recognise that and will appreciate that he, as much as anybody from Kerry, is a part of what we have. So those fellas blended in and nestled into the team and have positively contributed to the team. If you brought the wrong fellas in, it could really be detrimental. So I think you have to be careful about who you bring in and how you integrate them and how you make sure that if they come in, that they're good enough, they work hard enough for their players like everybody else, and if they do, then they're given a fair chance.
And of course, their experience rubs off then in the players, and experience is everything, isn't it, really, when you're bringing through young players. And I just did mention then about the underage structures in Kerry, Tom, and the work that's gone in at underage, and in particular the Causeway School, who are bringing through. You've probably had a look at underage games in Kerry. Is there a lot of very talented players floating around underneath?
I haven't had a huge amount of experience looking at underage hurling. I mean, you have to remember we came in quite late. Even my time in Kilmiley, we'd come down and I did take the odd under 21 training session, a minor training session when they'd be approaching finals in Kerry. I could see what talent was in Kilmiley. I saw a couple of minor games here before we'd play. It would be curtain raisers, senior games. So there's no doubt there's talent. What Causeway have done is amazing. And is a testament to the people that have been involved in coaching and trying to develop the game. There is awful passion for hurling here. There is talent here that needs to be nurtured and developed. There is some exceptional players here. I suppose the difference between Kerry and maybe what you'd call more established county hurling counties, there's some exceptional talent here. there's more exceptional talent in the other places because they have more of a pool to pick from. That is the fact of life. So you're drawing from a smaller pool. Whatever talent you have, you must nurture it and develop it and hold on to it. And I suppose that's the real challenge for Kerry. I mean, using Galway as an example, and you just see the abundance of incredible talent that has gone through Galway underage structure for the last 20 years, and they still struggle to really make seniors out of them. So I think in Kerry the challenge is different. If you spot the talent and see the talent, you must absolutely nurture the talent and make sure that the very best is done with it. And I think coaching standards are very important, and consistency in coaching, I think, is something I'd feel very passionate about. You know, we're here at senior, and there's lads involved at 21s, and there's lads involved at minor. It's very important that that we're all working off the same script. You know, I think it's important that we would meet those mentors from those different teams. We would sit down, we'd tell them what we were about, we'd debate what they were about, and we'd try and agree on a plan in terms of an approach and in terms of the type of training, the type of game that you're trying to develop, because those fellas will be with us next year, or a lot of them. So I think having a shared view and a shared vision and a shared understanding of what's available and what you're trying to do with them, to me, is very important. The coaching at clubs is very important, and I think the hurling coaches within the county, the Tweaky Griffins, have a huge responsibility to make sure that standards are as good as standards can be and that young fellas are getting the right type of training. I think Causeway is a great success because Causeway, they're playing colleges from other counties. They're getting exposed to different types of hurling, different styles of hurling. Tis giving them terrible confidence then when they come out and play with their clubs and their counties. Successful. And they've been very successful. Yeah. And you can't buy that. You just can't buy that. Kerry hurling can't get out of Kerry often enough to develop their game and understand how the game is played in the counties and understand maybe where they're strong and where their shortcomings are. So I think, you know, the more causeways we have, the more success we have at underage, the more games we play both at county and at club level outside of Kerry, albeit because of where you're geographically located, that's a challenge. But I think that's important. Get up to the Limericks and the Clares and the Tips and the Corks and play games up there and keep developing the game in that way and keep making it as competitive as you can.
And that's going to happen now, of course, Tom, because there's a new Munster League starting up very shortly, and there's teams from Clare and teams from Limerick and teams from Kerry that are going to be playing every Wednesday night.
Which is a very good story. Yeah. I mean, and it is a natural way of getting teams from the so-called weaker counties and giving them exposure. For sure it has. For sure it has. I'd say one other thing about I think Causeway, you mentioned Causeway, but the Kerry minors and maybe the Kerry under 21s. I think there's a real onus on the hurling people of Kerry and the hurling clubs of Kerry to get in behind their county teams, make their players available, encourage their players to go and play for the county, and to play the best they can for the county, because at the end of the day, they'll get it back in spades. You know, if players come into us, if we get them fitter, if we improve their hurling, if we make them hurl faster, if we make their ball work better, it can only help the clubs later on in the year. And remember, we'll be out of the Christie Ring. Very best we'll be out of it the first week in June. There's a long summer for hurling with our clubs. I would say the same of the minors and the same of the under-21s. Encourage them to be involved. Make it something special to play hurling for Kerry and to put on the Kerry hurling jersey, as it is in Kerry football. I do think there's that lack of pride in the county hurling jersey in Kerry, and that's a great shame. And I think that's something any of us that are involved in really need to work on and really need to encourage people to regard. We hand out the jerseys every day we play. We hand them out because you should be proud to put them on your back, and we make that point to them every game we play. And I think that sort of thing is desperately important, because I do get a sense that the clubs are king here. And that's not always. It's great, but in the interest of promoting hurling generally, it may not be the only approach. You have to try and promote hurling at county level as well.
Since you took over, how do you find your cooperation with the clubs that you mentioned here, and the fact that you were involved with Kilmiley for something like 3 years? That gives you an insight into the club versus county, and you've been dealing with other club people. How do you find the clubs and yourself?
I think, in the modern game, the roles of managers and the roles of coaches is kind of overstated. And fellas come in and fellas have a job to do with particular teams, and there's no other team in the world but that team, and they're going to be measured by the success and failure. It is human nature. I don't knock anybody for wanting to do that with their club or their team or whatever team they're involved in. You need a certain amount of single-mindedness. I don't think we've had any conflict with any of the clubs in Kerry. I do. Maybe the players are at times, particularly now between the league and the championship, there are demands of them with their clubs to play county league games, to train the odd night with their clubs and so on. To me, I would try and encourage clubs maybe that for that short period of time with the county, to release them to the county. When they're finished training with us Tuesday and Thursday and at the weekend, they won't need any more training. They need their rest time and they need their downtime.
Yeah.
And actually, having them involved with trying to keep them involved with club and county at the same time is probably damaging them in terms of the burnout factor, in terms of injuries and getting knocks and getting belts. And a lot of those injuries carry into the year. And I believe it's counterproductive for the clubs to be trying to take too much out of them earlier on in the time. So nothing personal, just I think if there is scope for club and county to work better and work better for a common goal. At the end of the day.
Now, Tom, you're kicking off in the Christiering Cup in 2 weeks' time. You have met a number of the teams. There's a lot of teams in that group. You have met a number of the teams in the league. You've been studying who you're going to be playing. What are the prospects now? And give us an idea when you're kicking off and what's going to happen and what way is the whole thing is being run.
We're out on Saturday week. We're playing down above in Newry. I don't know Down. It's been interesting, actually. Most of the games we played, you know very little about the opposition and you use every resource you can to try and get whatever little bit of insight you can. You read the papers and you look at the internet and you're just trying to find who their strong players are, where they might play. You talk to the players who were involved before and you try to learn a little bit. But most days you're going into the unknown. We're playing Down above in Newry. I mean, Down where, if you go back a few years, Down on Antrim and Derry, it was fairly competitive up there. They probably faltered a little bit over the last number of years. But travelling all the way up to Newry to play them above in Newry... You know, you can't underestimate the challenge that's in front of us. It's going to be a dogfight. We played three of the Christy Ring teams in the league. You know, we won four of the five league games. We didn't win any game by more than 3 points. That's the challenge. These are dogfights. These are going to be battles. Every game is going to be a battle. And it's going to require us to be playing at our very best. I felt during the league that there was always more in the team. And that if we got the long evenings and we got training and we got hurling, that we could improve our game. You know, by 20%. But I dare say every county manager and every county coach in those other counties are thinking about improving their team by 20 and 30% as well. So, look, we will be a better team playing Christy Ring. I'd like to think we'll be a good bit better team playing Christy Ring, which is encouraging given our league performance. But I think, you know, all those other teams will see the Christy Ring as a real opportunity to progress their hurling ambitions. And they'll be giving it a right go as well. And of course, it's semi-knockout. I mean, there is a backdoor in it in the earlier rounds. But people will be playing for their lives in those games. So it will be a battle. And we'll have to play at our very best to come out on top in any of those games, starting with Down.
Yeah, I'd say you love the fight, Tom. You love the contest. And you love what's in front of you.
Oh, sure, look. I mean, I often think about games, even whether I was playing or when you're a manager. The anticipation is often better than the aftermath. You know, you win a county final or you win something in hurling.
Are you fiery in the line? You are.
Am I fiery in the line? That's a loaded question. A loaded question.
Yeah.
I'm not generally. I'm fiery by nature. I do my damnedest to control my emotions in the sideline because there's so much going on that you really need to keep your head on what's going on. So I'm generally relatively quiet on the line. There have been instances where I've got fiery when I believe a wrong is done. I'm a bit thick, maybe that way. I stand up for what I believe in, and I won't stand down. And I suppose from time to time in my career as a manager or somebody on the sideline, I've got myself into trouble. Particularly this year, a well-publicised situation. That is the one and only situation I've ever had on the sideline. So I know, contrary to maybe opinion that you might hear elsewhere, I'm relatively quiet in the line. And I think anyone that saw me in the league games here would recognise that I don't be jumping up and down and running up and down the sideline. I don't. I don't see any benefit in doing that. You have to stay cool and stay watching what's going on and rely on the fellas around you to stay cool and do the same. there's enough of fellas above in the stand to be shouting and roaring and getting emotional.
I heard Jim McGuinness saying a very relevant thing very lately. Somebody said to him he's very quiet in the line, he doesn't ever move or really shout, and he says, if I have to do that, it means I have my work done on the playing and the training fields, he said. That's where you do your talking in the training. Generally, on refereeing, Tom, now that you've come across, just a general, not talking about any particular referee now, we hear a lot of talk about referees are overblowing and hurling, and the game isn't as manly, maybe, as what it should have been, and there's a lot of things being left go and stuff like that. What's your general view of refereeing overall?
Look, I think refereeing is becoming, I think the game is getting faster and faster. I think, you know, a lot of the hurling tactics today are kind of came from the football tactics. I mean, in football, people talked about the northern influence and the blanket defence and tackling and getting fellas in tight and what's a tackle and all the rest of it. I think actually in hurling, defining the tackle is becoming more and more difficult, and coaches are working on this, and coaches are learning to stand fellas up and learning to get close and learning to time your tackle to the maximum impact. Are most of those tackles technically correct or not? Most of those tackles are actually fouls. But there's such a level of instance of it now that referees are going to have to let it go. From time to time, they're going to blow, and people are wondering what they're blowing at. Technically, they're fouls. In the interest and the spirit of the game, they've got to make a call. So it's an incredible difficult job to do. It's not like it's black and white. If the referee games as if they were black and white or to the letter of the law, they had the whistle in their mouth all day. And that's what people don't want to see, and that's what people complain. So they have a very difficult job to do. I do think there's my one gripe with referees is, I suppose, the inconsistency on some things. You know, some referees get very riled up about or seem to concentrate a lot on specific technical fouls that don't add or take for the game. And then the next referee will totally ignore those.
Same in football.
So they kind of confuse players, and players are getting away with it one week, and then the following week, for the very same thing, they're getting pulled. And look, I suppose it's human nature. Anywhere you're relying on human subjectivity, you're going to have errors. But I'd like to see maybe some more discussion, debate amongst referees about some of those things and what the sensible thing to do is, and try and referee it with a little bit more common sense maybe, and on some of those things, be less technical about them. As it, you know, I mean, I think the good referees, you watch them, they remain good-humoured, they're stern, they're firm, they're good-humoured, they talk to the players, they don't have to shout at them or lecture them, but their authority is in the soft word and in the wag of the finger. And I think, you know, if we could encourage that type of referee rather than the fella going around laying down the law to everybody and being very regimental about things, I think generally you'd have a better quality of referee.
There's a lot of talk about changing the whole structure of the national leagues in hurling now, Tom. There's an awful lot of debate. You'll be well aware of it going on. Cork have been relegated and Limerick can't get up, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And there's talks about the winners of the Christie Ring Cup being left go into the McCarthy Cup. On that point, do you think the Kerry hurlers and the Kerry people in general would prefer to be in the McCarthy Cup or to prefer to be in the Christie Ring Cup when push comes to shove?
Look, there is a lot of debate on the leagues. I think the leagues were never probably more competitive than they were in the years gone by. On the leagues, I think there is a six-team league, and the difference between relegation and promotion can be very tight and can be down to the last game. The Kerry footballers, I suppose, in a bigger league had that experience this year, but it happened in Division 1 of the hurling as well. I think you could afford probably to have two more teams in Division 1 and two more teams in Division 2 and then two more teams in Division 3, and I don't think you'd lose any of that competitiveness. So that's the league. I think more games would benefit teams, particularly Kerry, because our hurling season, inter-county hurling season, is so short. Mm-hmm. I think more games in the league would be of value to us. The Christie Ring, I think we're in the Christie Ring where that's the level. That's the level we're playing at. That's the level we're able to play at. I do think, however, if we were by some chance to win the Christie Ring, or whatever team wins the Christie Ring, I think there should be a promotion and a relegation process. Would we be good enough to play in the McCarthy Cup? No, is my honest opinion. I think that's very different from John Myler. John Myler always felt that Kerry should be allowed to play in the Munster Championship. My view is that we're not good enough to play in the Munster Championship. However, when Kerry won the Christie Ring in John's time, I do think there should have been another tier that they should have been allowed to play in. So a lot of the teams that are playing in the Leinster Championship, Prittler, London, Westmeath, Laois, Antrim, there's very little between those teams, and there's probably not too much between those teams and the ultimate winner of the Christie Ring. I think there could be another tier that you could get into. And if you came out of that tier, if you were good enough to come out of that tier, I think then you could step into your respective provincial championship and into the McCarthy Cup proper. I think there are kind of phases in it. I think there's no point in Kerry becoming another, you know, team like some of those teams I mentioned in Leinster, which in actual fact are just cannon fodder for the big teams. They beat them 20, 25, 26 points. I don't think that ever serves anyone in sport well. I think you should play where you're competitive and you should try and get better and better and always, by all means, have the ambition to play there, but play there when you're ready to play there and not beforehand, because I think it can be detrimental if you go there too soon.
You're well aware, of course, football is and always will be the number one sport in the county here, and it gets a lot of publicity.
Yes.
From a publicity point of view in relation to the Kerry Hurlers, because the more PR work you do, the more you spread the gospel, naturally enough, the better it is, like what we are having the chat here now today. Do you think that Kerry Hurling gets the promotion in the county the same as what hurling would get, or football would get above in Clare?
I think, in fairness to the local press, I think the local papers, the local radio, your own radio station, I think it does get reasonably good coverage. You pick up the papers every week. There is always a very good cover of the inter-county games. You know, so I think in that sense, it does get a good degree of coverage. Probably, maybe even disproportional to the amount of support it gets actually the day of the matches.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't believe the local press are in any way at fault in terms of the promotion or lack of promotion of the game. I would encourage the local hurling people. I mean, people in North Kerry are very passionate about hurling, and they come out in reasonably strong numbers for their clubs. It amazes me that when your county team plays here in Tralee, that we don't get more bodies out. I think the people need to speak with their voice. I know in the current economic climate, people having to pay money, you know, 15 euros or 10 euros coming in the gate for a game. You know, maybe people don't have it, and maybe that's affecting kind of the turnout for matches. But I would really like to see more people getting behind the hurling, the inter-county hurling team. I think particularly now in our situation where we have such a young team, that support is very important. I mean, one of the things we agreed we would do here at the start of the year was we said we'd make Tralee a fortress. We said no one beats us at home. That was one of our targets. We had three league games here at home, and we said whatever about the away games, we don't lose at home. And that opposing teams, when they're coming down to Tralee, whoever they are, they know they're in for a battle. They know they're in for something special. That the effort that we make in Tralee, the effort that teams make in Tralee, just is disproportional to maybe to what they can offer normally. And we really do need to establish that sort of position here. The support is vitally important, that, and people being here and shouting and roaring and for opposing teams to feel that passion of people, that passion that's inherent in them and is there. They are good hurling people. I would really encourage them to come out and try and support us, because, you know, we will, if we stay working hard at it, we will get better and better, and we'll be worth supporting. We'll give value for money any day we're out.
Tom, as we're coming to an end of our chat, we will get better. And that, does that mean that you'd like to be around for another 2 years at least? You're only here 6 months, and anybody taking over a job in football or hurling in Kerry, it takes you at least a year before you can get your legs under the table, and you're building a new team. I would imagine that you'd like to be around for a while.
I think when I talk to anybody about hurling, I get quite emotional about it, because it's something that's near and dear to my heart. When I talked to Patrick and Peter at the beginning of the year, and we discussed kind of the term, I insisted that the term would be for 1 year. I said at the end of 1 year, I will review what I feel, where I'm going with, whether I'm contributing, whether I'm getting the support of the county board, and whether I'm getting the support of the players and the people. That's for me to review. For them to review is whether I'm up to the job or not. We will have that review, and we will both speak honestly and frankly about it. I'd like to be involved in hurling in Kerry for another year. I think we have something to work with. I'd like to think we'll get that support that I'm looking for. But we have to. And I'm not going to take the job and not be able to do the job to the best of my ability. and that means I will demand the support from everybody involved, both at administrative level, from the players, and from everybody else involved, because that's the only way you can move forward. These young fellas need to be given a chance. We need to try and make that opportunity, present that opportunity for them to get better and better and play at a higher and higher level and fulfil the natural potential that's there with them, within them. We need everyone's support to do that. So I'd like to be here next year. I'd like to think the county board and the players might want me here next year. Myself and Fergie, and I shouldn't speak in the singular because he's a vital part of what I have to offer. I'm confident that we will get that support. And if we do, and you know, we get a decent run the Christy Ring, and we don't do anything stupid, and that might upset those that are kind of trying to govern us and manage us. Hopefully, I will be here next year.
And of course, Tom, you and the selectors and the county board and the clubs have a big duty towards the young boy, wherever Pat Kerry he's growing up in, with the hurley under his bed and waking up in the morning and playing hurling all day and wanting to play with Kerry. You have a duty to have the process there for him and have the groundwork there and the facilities there for him, because if they're not there for him, like they are in the football, you're failing in your duty.
That's absolutely right. I mean, that is absolutely right. I'm not here on an ego trip. I'm not here on a career path in hurling. I'm here to do the very best I can for Kerry hurling while I'm here. To that end, it's not just about the Kerry senior hurlers. It's about doing whatever we can do to promote hurling at minor, whatever we can do to promote hurling at under 21, to do what we can do to promote hurling in the clubs and everywhere else. That's our duty. How much of that we can actually influence as individuals is, I guess, somewhat limited. But while we're here, if there's anything we can do to make hurling more prominent, make hurling more successful, I believe in our responsibility as managers of the Kerry senior hurling team, we must do. And I would be prepared to help out in any way that I can while I'm here to do that. And that will mean voicing my opinion about underage structures, about general standards of hurling, and what the county board are doing to promote hurling, or what the clubs are doing to promote hurling. I'll give my tuppence halfpenny worth, and either to be accepted or torn. But I'll do it, and I'll do it not because what I say is right, but because I genuinely want to see things done better and hurling being a more progressive game in Kerry, and Kerry reaching the potential that I know is within Kerry. I mean, look at what Offaly did with 8 clubs. Why can't Kerry eventually get to that stage and you know, really make some groundbreaking changes? The only way we can do it is start the building blocks, build the foundation, and build them bit by bit. And I won't be around maybe to reap the rewards, but maybe somebody else will, and Kerry can be successful both at hurling and football.
Tom, listen to me. First of all, I want to thank you for taking time out to talk to me. You're a great, passionate hurling man, and I'd expect nothing else from any hurling man to come from Clare, because the county board had a great man in you when they put you in charge, and I've no doubt if Kerry are going to be progress, which they are doing, and you must be happy where things are going, they're going to have the likes of you progressing and keeping them on, and I sincerely hope you'll be around for a couple of more years. And thanks for taking time out to talk to me.
Thank you, Ishi, very much. Thank you.